Heard it in Jim's update. We talk about that to get started today. The Nick Birdie injury. It was not easy to watch. You saw him writhe in pain, go down. He was sobbing at one point. You blow your arm out like that, it is not good, particularly a guy that has a history of injuries. Tommy John surgery in May of 2017. Clint Hurdle talks a little bit about it. You heard that in Jim's update. And the starter, Musgrove, he talked about it.
Sitting and talking to Jameson, you know, he's just saying, man, I couldn't imagine being in his position. You know, we don't know the outcome of what the injury itself is, but, you know, that rehab is grueling, and it's long and exhausting and it's frustrating. So, you know, everyone in here feels for him. It's really hard to see it happen.
Yeah, Joe Musgrove, it was really hard to see it. Guys, from a human standpoint, and we'll get into the machinations of the bullpen and what's going to happen here on out, but from a human standpoint, sometimes you look too much at these guys as robots, and that's one of the moments whenever I think you see it on both ends. You see the human element, and we saw it when Cole Tucker hit his home run. You see his parents jumping up and down and excited, and then you see the other end of the continuum when there's injury. You're reminded that these people are just people when you see things such as that.
And that's probably as much as due to any physical pain the reason Nick Birdie was laying there in tears last night, because he had just worked his tail off to get back to where he was from Tommy John. And to feel your arm, I don't know if it popped, whatever happened, to feel that kind of pain and go down and know, man, I just got all the way back, and here I am gassing dudes with high 90s heat, striking half the batters I face out, feeling like I'm earning a bigger spot in this bullpen, and I might have to go through this all over again. And am I ever going to get back on a major league mound? So, yeah, that's what makes it tough, is you roll all that up into one big ball of wax, and it makes it really hard to swallow.
Jim. Yeah, and there was some confidence that this organization was starting to have in him, and especially in a yo-yo effect with Richard Rodriguez, with the confidence that they had not necessarily lost in him. He was gaining some back, but early in the season that he had kind of lost. So I think Nick Birdie, Jim, had, and you had pointed this out in through spring training, had solidified his stance within the organization.
Yeah, it's funny. He earned a spot, and I thought that, you know, there was talk along that he was going to get a job by default because of the Rule 5, the way that it works. You have to offer him back, and they were going to save a spot for him anyway, regardless of how his spring went. Well, it turned out that he was better than a lot of other guys. You know, maybe, what, better than everybody except Vasquez in spring training anyway. And so he earned a spot. And then Kyle Crick went down. Rodriguez had trouble. Kella had trouble. All of a sudden, here's Birdie in the seventh, sometimes eighth inning. And not only that, but he's young. He's inexperienced, partly because of the Tommy John stuff. Bright future in front of him. And now what?
But we look at it again, and now what, too? You look at it from a holistic standpoint and a team standpoint. It is the bullpen. These Pirates have been able to sustain, and we started the show talking about this yesterday, that I couldn't believe how they were where they were in how they sustained a lack of offense, and they sustained a bullpen, and particularly not just a bullpen, but a whole roster that was riddled with injuries. Well, here is another blow to both of those things, the bullpen and the injured, injured list. Crick was not good last night. Birdie gets injured last night. Liriano gives up three hits in an inning last night. So the bullpen wasn't good. That's one side of it. And they sustain as an organization another injury with Birdie.
There's just not a lot of reason to feel very confident in the bullpen outside of Felipe Vasquez right now.
Right.
I mean, Crick hadn't given up a base runner, I don't think, until that outing last night, and then the guys that do get on and end up coming around, it felt like, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, and Diaz doesn't make the play at the plate. No, all the things piled up, but very quickly it got out of control. And this is, you know, you were supposed to come into the season feeling good about the bullpen. This was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team. And again, you don't feel super confident outside of anybody besides Vasquez.
I feel good about the Pirates. I really do.
Yes.
But it feels as if we're standing on the edge of a cliff going, am I going to take a step inland or am I going to take a step off this cliff every time that I watch the bullpen? And you're almost, when you get through a game and it's a tight game and the bullpen holds it for you and they ultimately keep it together for you, you feel like
it's
you
dodged
something.
It's a huge sigh of relief.
Yes.
Like, oh boy, we got through that one.
You don't feel that confidence like, here's the bullpen, you hand it to them, they're going to nail it down. I don't know. Am I the only one who feels that way, Jim?
You know what? Crick faced four batters. The first four batters he faced, could he have pitched better to those first four batters? You know, I mean, he gives up. I don't know. But then there's two dribblers in front of the plate that the Pirates screwed up both of them. And then there's a blooper. And you know, then it got serious when he gave up a bases loaded triple. Birdie came on, gave up a homer. It's like he did. Sometimes, you know, that's why they say that's baseball, because you throw good pitches and guys reach base because of various circumstances when they shouldn't have. They didn't hit the ball.
Well, three consecutive hits, quote unquote, or three consecutive balls off the bat don't go beyond the pitcher's mound. And then all of a sudden, the bases are loaded. Peralta comes up and clears them. And it's a completely different game, not because Kyle Crick necessarily pitched poorly, but because, again, this all comes back, and we're going to talk about it all summer. There's very little margin for error.
I don't know.
I'm
okay with a bullpen throwing it past people, and even if they're little dribblers.
Especially like that J.B. Shuck with a 91-mile-an-hour heater in the ninth.
He may be their best seventh-inning guy right now. Maybe they pitched him two innings too late, J.B. Shuck. And I'm only half serious that he was heating it up. I mean, he really was.
That was, and you know, that's one of those things. And if you fell asleep, which I think many of us did, when things looked pretty good for the Pirates, and all of a sudden you wake up and see what the heck happened. I'm looking for Kella in the box score when I saw all those runs were there, and then you read what happened, and it's just. But the Birdie injury, man, that just stinks. You know, they've got guys that have been in the majors before. I don't know where they're going to go with this, but they've got guys that are actually, for what it's worth, that are pitching well in the minors.
Maybe a Nevarauskas sort of move.
We've
or somebody
seen
that. Like
and
that.
Feliz. I mean, we've seen those guys before.
Oh, boy.
And their numbers in AAA are good. Before. I mean, they could call Brault back right away because it's an injury situation, but they who knows what route they're going to go.
Well, they've said they're going to stretch Brault out as a starter, too, in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Follow
us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. You can find positives in a 12-4 loss. You can do it, and there was one glaring positive last night. We go over that. You know, it's 12-4, not a lot of positives from last night, but there was one glaring one. Here you go.
Another 3-2, and there's a line drive toward the right field corner. It takes two hops up against the wall. Gregory Polanco into second base with a stand-up double. Single walk double in his first three plate appearances of the year. Welcome back, El Cafe.
Happy to see him back out there. Happy to see him in the box. Happy to see him going out and playing defense and running the bases. We've welcomed him with open arms, and he's ready to come back here and contribute any way he can.
All right, there's the skipper, and before that, the play-by-play, Greg Brown, right here, Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan, your flagship home of the Bucks. You know, there's a lot of not great to take from last night, and again, we're not going to get into 162 times going through every single Pirate game piece by piece, but this was a big story. You find out earlier in the day with the Cafe on his way back, and he gets out there, and he looks... He looks good.
He looks like Gregory Polanco, as we remember Gregory Polanco.
Well, I still want to see him have to make a throw of consequence.
Yes.
That is where the jury is still out on that, but everything else, he looked good. He goes 2-for-4. He's running the bases. Apparently, he's not going to slide head first. We were told that. He's going to slide feet first. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And he has a multi-hit game, as does Moran, another multi-hit game. Mm-hmm. He's up to like 290 now or something thereabouts.
Yep.
But Polanco is a guy you circle because you want to see how he acclimates himself back in. But it does raise a bigger question, is what happens positionally? What happens with this shuffle, especially when Dickerson makes his way back?
Yeah, because, well, here's the thing. Melky's down to 300 now, 0-for-3 for him last night, including... leaving a couple on base.
He got pinch hit for
it. Yeah. So, look, Melky's eventually going to, you know, sort of slide back into that fourth outfielder, first pinch hitter, because he can hit from both sides of the plate kind of role. And I think we'll all be okay with that. We'll look back on the first couple weeks of the season and say, hey, remember when Melky Cabrera was starting every day and diving and making throws and doing this and doing that? And it'll be a fun little memory, and it'll be nice to have him as your number one bench piece, because Dickerson, Marte, Polanco, eventually when they're all healthy, is the way your outfield should align. Again, you made a good point. As long as Polanco can get the ball in from the outfield.
Yeah, that's something that I want to see. And, I'd like to see it. It almost would have been best if it would have happened last night when the game was out of reach. Just to see. I don't want to see it at 0-0 in the seventh inning of a game.
Right.
Whenever a starter is cruising at 85 pitches, and that's the, he walks somebody, a guy steals second, he gives up a single, and here comes Polanco having to charge in. What's his arm like?
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a way we could find out what his arm was like, but it feels to me like it's going to be in a deep moment of consequence
right.
because when you find out what a right fielder has with his arm, it generally is a pretty deep moment of consequence.
Exactly, an important moment in a ball game. And so I think he had one relay back in. It might have been the Peralta triple. I can't remember
now. He also couldn't lift the ball up to the wall when he was throwing it up to the fans, which was kind of
came back to him.
And they all gave him kind of hell for
right.
it.
Right. But, I mean, here's the other part of that is if it does happen, when it does happen in a big moment of consequence, does he feel the need to necessarily air it out or blow it out? Because part of this, too, is they've kind of limited him and mm-hmm. what sort of throws he's been making as he's worked his way back. So with the first time he really airs it out, how's it feel and what's the reaction within his arm to that?
I'm just waiting for him to drop kick it. Like Doug Flutie did. I think that'd be hilarious if he just dropped
a Jordan Berry style punt.
Or he just ran over and handed it to the center fielder. There you go.
Starling, throw this.
I can't do this.